You've climbed the corporate ladder with determination, collected promotions, built expertise. Then parenthood arrives, and suddenly that carefully tailored career feels uncomfortably tight. The old metrics of success, face time, constant availability, climbing without pause, clash violently with school pickups and sick days. Most advice offers two unsatisfying options: lean in harder, sacrificing family, or lean out entirely, sacrificing up to $300,000 in lifetime earnings. But what if there's a third way? What if you could redesign your career the way a skilled tailor upcycles fabric, keeping what's valuable, cutting away what doesn't serve you, and creating something both functional and authentic? This isn't about compromising or settling. It's about recognizing that the workplace was never designed for people with full, complex lives, and taking back the power to reshape it. The motherhood penalty isn't subtle. By the time her first child turns 20, the average woman will have spent 3 years less in the workforce and 10 years less in full-time work than her male counterparts. This isn't about ambition or capability. It's about systemic barriers that remain stubbornly in place. The first wall is the work-life balance myth itself. Media prescribes bubble baths for structural problems. Research reveals stark patterns. Half of London mothers changed jobs for family reasons. 6 in 10 prioritized flexibility over expertise. Nearly 1 in 5 deliberately stalled careers. 4 women illustrate the trap with different choices but the same problem: workplaces that refuse to bend. Amy accepted career limits for schedule control. Beth worked full-time but faced constant friction. Claire left when her employer refused reduced hours. Deborah worked long hours while her husband handled childcare, later regretting missed moments. The second wall is corporate culture built by and for men. The ideal worker model assumes unlimited availability and no outside responsibilities, historically supported by the corporate wife who handled everything else. Despite women's workforce entry, most organizations still operate on this outdated blueprint. They acknowledge work-life balance and policies while penalizing anyone who requests it. Ask for flexibility and you're suddenly less committed, passed over for assignments, quietly sidelined. The third wall is the illusion of choice. Part-time work, mummy track positions, entrepreneurship, these seem like solutions but trap women in career-limiting situations. The mumpreneur phenomenon masks women earning less while working longer hours, developing skills that won't translate back to corporate leadership. These aren't freely chosen paths. They're compromises forced by inflexible systems and inadequate childcare support. Before redesigning anything, understand your natural preferences for handling work-life boundaries. Separators prefer clear divisions between work and home. Integrators blend domains fluidly, taking calls during dinner or handling personal tasks at work. Volleyers switch strategies based on circumstances. What matters most is whether your approach is chosen or forced. Reactors are separators pressured to integrate by overwhelming demands. Captives are integrators forced to separate by rigid organizational cultures. Smartphones promised liberation, but created an always-on culture, preventing genuine rest. Constant connectivity prevents mental recovery, causing chronic stress and mistakes. The solution isn't abandoning technology, but developing micro-boundaries, small, deliberate limits, like separating work and personal emails, consciously leaving your phone behind, or disabling notifications during family time. We all play multiple roles guided by scripts, unspoken rules absorbed from parents, culture, and social pressure. Psychologist Donald Super mapped lives as a life-career rainbow, 9 universal roles: child, student, leisureite, citizen, worker, spouse, homemaker, parent, pensioner, that wax and wane across our lifespan. When too many demand high intensity simultaneously, we feel overwhelmed. The goal isn't eliminating roles, but managing their interplay strategically. Successful flexibility negotiations require behavioral adaptability and cultural awareness. Frame requests at 3 levels: personal, benefits to your manager and team, including avoiding burnout costs; organizational, how supporting women's progression helps the company broadly. External, PR advantages like industry recognition for family-friendly policies. Logic alone won't overcome unconscious bias. Managers may still view flexibility as reduced commitment. Prepare for multiple conversations to gradually shift perspectives. Start by discovering existing options. Some companies have all roles can flex policies, while most harbor hidden flexibility through managerial discretion. Uncover patterns by asking your manager about their flexible work experience, tapping women's or parents' groups, consulting HR, and connecting at industry events. When job hunting, leverage networks, examine public statements, and check sites like Glassdoor or FairyGodbras.com. Role conflict appears as time-based, one role prevents another, behavior-based, clashing expectations, or strain-based, stress spillover. But researchers emphasize role enrichment. Multiple roles create psychological buffers, where success in one area helps navigate challenges in another. The key is making conscious, small adjustments rather than letting circumstances control everything. Yale professor Amy Riznievsky discovered that employees routinely make small adjustments to their jobs to improve engagement and satisfaction. This job crafting increases commitment by rearranging tasks, altering interactions, and reframing how you think about work components. Consider Christine, a working mother drowning in emails from colleagues delegating their problems. By making herself unavailable for 2 weeks, she discovered most people resolved their own queries. Her email load dropped permanently. Many professionals negotiate part-time arrangements only to end up with pay cuts while handling full-time workloads because employers evaluate performance based on hours rather than outputs. The key is focusing relentlessly on high-value outputs. Work expands through uncontrolled emails, unnecessary meetings, and low-value activities. Women, particularly, tend to say yes to requests, believing responsiveness earns promotion points, but it only encourages more trivial tasks. The solution? Systematically audit where your time goes. Eliminate, delegate, or automate ruthlessly. Challenge the assumption that reduced hours must mean the same workload compressed. That path leads to burnout. Instead, strategically reshape role boundaries, renegotiate priorities, and redesign work processes. Seek four-way wins, changes that simultaneously improve work, home, community, and self. Over 55% of professionals with flexible work access receive no training in managing it effectively. 8 critical self-management competencies drive success. Sophisticated time management, strategic priority setting, boundary management, proactively building support networks, negotiating sustainable arrangements, taking personal responsibility, making rapid adjustments, and managing others' expectations. Setting healthy boundaries isn't optional. It's crucial for sustainable performance. Establish clear work hours, dedicated workspaces, and communication protocols that respect personal time. A concerning pattern emerges. Workloads are rarely reduced proportionally when hours are cut. Most professionals unconsciously accept the same workload compressed into less time, leading inevitably to burnout or underperformance. Enhanced communication skills consistently rank as most critical, requiring extra attention to clarity, frequency, and channel selection. Remote workers must actively combat the out-of-sight, out-of-mind syndrome affecting career progression and project access. Success demands virtual presence, digital collaboration, and self-motivation. Maintain occasional office presence when possible to balance visibility with flexibility. These aren't innate talents, they're learnable skills that compound dramatically through consistent practice. Upcycling your job is an act of leadership. Women have championed workplace flexibility for generations, yet we still struggle to see them as leaders, often perceiving men as more capable despite contrary evidence. Leadership research has historically focused on white men, creating assumptions that women lack leadership qualities. We attribute men's success to ability while crediting women's to luck. But women define leadership differently, emphasizing relationships, empowerment, and power sharing. This engaging leadership model, serving others, fostering collaboration, valuing diverse perspectives, is exactly what modern organizations need. Leadership develops through small acts, not overnight transformations. Successful female leaders develop a gendered leadership repertoire, not becoming more like men, but expanding leadership's definition. Women aren't lacking ambition or skills. What's been missing is a practical framework for achieving balance while advancing careers. Your experience juggling priorities uniquely qualifies you to champion workplace cultures, valuing both results and well-being. Your journey starts with intentional changes. Map boundaries, identify flexibility, craft your role strategically, build skills, lead authentically. Your efforts transform workplace culture for everyone. The suit that no longer fits can be upcycled into something more valuable, more sustainable, more truly yours.